B-Pod Studios.
This is Over Under 98.5 with Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz. Here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
It's Over Under 98.5, the podcast. I'm Joe Murray alongside Dan Lifshatz. How's it going today, Dan?
It's going well, Joe. It's going well. Not bad. Wright State is hanging in there right now. They're down by one, so I'm okay with that. They were terrible early on.
I'm not doing much scoreboard watching, but I will tell you this. I was out with the wife. I put in a Buffalo minus four play, and he goes, oh, line moved to five. Like, oh, it moved a whole point within the whole process of putting it in. They ended up winning by six. So I feel like I am on the right side of things lately, Dan.
That's fair. I can you've had, honestly, a really good week. I mean, with the exception of that Knicks game, that was probably your one bad game that you've had real this week where you lost on those sides. I mean, you've been fire. I mean, you had that Utah second half yesterday, which I was not the biggest fan of, but, you know, that was money.
Loyola last night.
You had Loyola last night, which, you know, cashed that three-pointer in the last minute. Cash that. Yeah, I mean, you honestly, to be fair, you've been money this week, dude. There's no doubt about it.
Somebody tweeted us this week, and we're going to answer a lot of questions on the show today, but somebody goes, well, if you guys think the NBA is so fixed, why are you betting it? I guess you're right, man. Like, the only losses I have this week are the NBA.
Well, I mean, it just to me, it's pretty simple. I know that everyone's like, oh, well, and especially that guy. And again, he's a nice guy. So I don't want to give him too much flack, but why are we betting a fixed sport? Well, because you can be on the right side of the fix. You just have to know, you know, which side to be on. It's not that hard. Make sure you don't bet, you know, make sure you don't bet the square side with, you know, 89%. I mean, literally everyone was on the Thunder yesterday and everyone was on the Warriors the night before. Just, you know. Know when everyone's on the side. It's not that hard. Just stay away, man. It really shouldn't be that difficult.
You know that's really worked this week, Dan? Like, you texted me the other day. Don't do it. You know, was it? Was it the Thunder?
It was the Thunder. And I knew you were going to be like, huh, look at that line. That's pretty good. I was like, don't do it.
How about Golden State minus three the other night?
I told you. I'd rather burn my money. I'd rather burn my money than lay those points on a line like that. It's a bad line. You know, Oklahoma City should be favored by what? Nine there in that spot? So the fact that they're five, again, this is the kind of thing we kind of go back to when we talk about every week. When a line looks short in a spot like that, there should be some alarm bells going off in your head saying, man, why does this look so easy? Like, in those spots, it should be pretty evident that something looks way better than it is. That's the way I would put it.
Yep, and it's worked pretty well. It's worked pretty well, at least in the NBA wise, and that's why we call them square plays. You know, sometimes they look too good to be true, and it's been good. And somebody, you know, we've been getting some compliments regarding the podcast. You know, they like listening to the show because we talk about spots to look at, and I think that's why we do the podcast. Like, dude, I don't want to sit here and give out plays and, you know, go 10-3 while, you know, everyone's like, oh, great, give me another free pick. It's like, we're not really doing it as a service. I'd love to throw my Venmo out there and get a little, you know, action on it. But, like, we're doing this to help or at least talk about it. And the one thing I think this podcast is helpful about is really finding spots and truly when to fade and when to follow.
I'd call it a educational podcast is what I would call it. We definitely give you spots, talk about spots, but I'd say more of along the lines of it's an educational podcast about sports betting and, you know, just kind of what to look for. I mean, let's be fair, a lot of our listenership are a lot of new bettors, not veteran bettors who've been doing this for a long time. And I think that that's great. And, you know, I there's also a whole bunch of vets. I mean, I've gotten, you know, a whole bunch of DMs saying, hey, listen, you know, I've been doing this for, you know, X amount of years. And, you know, you guys are the best at what you do. And, you know, we really appreciate you, whatever. And that's great. But this is also an informational podcast for, you know, the newbie, the new better, the new guy. And, you know, that's good. That's what we like to do. And we like to do everything. Now, can't give away every secret in the world. But, you know, I don't know. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun.
Yeah. And one thing I did want to mention is, and I'm sure you can tell everybody where they can actually hear the podcast, but we do have a betting podcast 101. And if there's one thing that I love to bet second half plays. I just do the math. I look at it and, you know, I'll give you a Celtics, Pistons game the other night. You know, there was 109 was the score at halftime, and 212 was the total of the game, and Vegas set it right at 103.
Yeah,
I look at it and I say, this game's going over. Like, the total's 212. I like the over in the game. Bet it second half, double down, boom. It's not always smart to do double downs, or sometimes you can hedge out of it, sometimes you can middle, but I do think that some people just need to learn the terms a little bit more, and that's why I would say go back and listen to our Betting 101 podcast. We literally break everything down. And it really helps the newbies. And we got a ton of new followers as well.
Yeah, exactly. And that's great. And we love that you guys are listening. And hopefully you guys are making some money. I mean, honestly, I haven't heard anyone say, I lost my ass betting your games with the exception of the guy who loves to troll me. But I mean, really, in reality, it's been, you know, it's basically been just, you know, people loving the fact that, you know, we're helping them and, you know, we're making some money. I mean, listen, we're not touting ourselves as the best in the world. I'm not, you know, and people are like, oh, you're touting yourself as the best. I never said that. There's people way better than me, and I'm perfectly okay admitting that. I'm still learning every day, too. Like, I learn about betting every day. It's not just like, you know, it's not like everyone else, you know, I'm the master. I learned a ton about betting every day. And, you know, so it's just one of those things that, you know, we're trying to help out, and I don't know. I think that's kind of the best way to put it.
It's a long season. There's spots, man. Like, this thing's week to week, and it's funny because people place bets, and it's like, oh, I'm going to tail this guy tonight. Well, hey, he's 1-8 in a row. Be a little careful here. You know what I mean? Like, people just jump in. They sometimes jump in at the wrong time, and they want to blame you for it. And whatever. I'm actually over that point. Like, I'm over it. My bankroll speaks for itself. Like, I don't need someone to tell me I'm good or not or whatever. And I'm sure there's better cappers out there, but, like, I don't know, Dan. I think we're very good at looking at spots, and I guess if you want to look at what we did last week, you know, I love that Big Ten basketball, and I Wisconsin, Michigan State, like those teams I've been following now for how many weeks in a row? How many times have I rid them? And what did I tell you last week against Michigan?
I was fading
Wisconsin, and, you know, we can say what we want about Michigan or whatever, but, you know, they won that game. Now, I did fade them the other night, Penn State. It worked. And they play again this weekend. Who do they play this weekend? Well, Maryland.
Yep.
Who's been hot. So, again, that might be another spot where you might want to fade Michigan. But, again, their coach got fired. So, there's a lot of things. Not fired. Got thrown out the other night. But there's always these spots, just like Kentucky at Mississippi State. A lot of people liked Mississippi State at home last week. I had Kentucky on that one. The Villanova Marquette game, wherever you got the number, whether it was 2-1, wherever, the number was dead on, but I liked Marquette and I bought. Think about that. $30 or $300 in juice went from either a push or a win. And yep. That's sometimes the difference on these small lines to take the money line instead of just the number.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of juice, this is exactly, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk about tonight. You know, I mean, you guys saw, I got into it with this small time capping group. I think they've been around for a week. I'm not going to give them any pub, but basically my big issue with them was that they're not posting lines and they're not posting their juice. And everyone's like, oh, you know, we're plus 17 units. You know, we're killing it or whatever. I'm like, no, you're not plus 17 units. You're plus like 12 units because you guys lost all the juice of your points. They're like, oh yeah, we don't calculate that. Do it on your own time.
Although 12 units is very good.
Yeah, it is. But
it's very good.
That's fine. But, you know, don't tell me to do it on my own time and start advertising that you're 17 units. You're not. You're 12 units. You know, this is kind of the thing I'm talking about. Like, That should be setting off warning, you know, warning signs in your head, like, oh crap, do not follow them. Like, guys, there are 5 million different capping accounts on Twitter. There's a million of them. Most of them start up and flame out within a month. You know, they have a good week or two. They go tout. They start asking for money, which we know about Joe. And then, you know, immediately they flame out and they're gone. And they just come up with another account a couple weeks later. So, you know, this guy had a good account. You know, they had a very good week. Totally give them that. You know, they're playing every fave, every square, you know, every square dog, whatever. You know, but some stuff that's not sustainable. And so they had a very good week. Okay, right. No problem. That's awesome. I'm happy for them. And they had a good week. So, you know, props to that. However, after that, you know, they've done it for a week. And then, you know, they're talking smack. They're not posting juice. Guys, those are not the people you want to follow. That, you know, those are the people you should not be doing it. The guys you want to follow are the guys who've been doing this for a long time, who are successful in this business, and, you know, who have proven themselves and have reputations of winning. Not the guys who start up and have a good week or two. You want to tail them for a week or two, go ahead, that's fine. But just don't expect to ride that long term. They're not going to win long term. 95% of these accounts on Twitter don't win. That's just the honest to God truth. It's not being a hater. That's being, you know, that's the truth. Because I used to do the same thing. I used to ride these guys and follow these accounts, and they didn't win. And I'd be like, but you guys are saying you're winning. Well, in reality, you know, people can say a lot of things and spin a lot of things. It's not hard to be a good salesman on Twitter. So that's just kind of what I wanted to say about that. I think it's real silly if you don't post your lines. And again, we don't post our lines, right? However, everything in our third-party tracker, which we use the Action Network app, which, you know, is great, we use the juice. We use the correct juice. I make sure I put it in. If you say minus 140, I put in minus 140. If you say plus 100, I put in plus 100. I do everything to the exact line that you post or that I post. And if I don't post, you know, post juice, it's minus 110. It's minus 110 in the tracker. So everyone knows. It's very simple. And again, if you don't have our, you know, if you're not following us on the Action Network, it's at over under 985, just like Twitter. And, you know, it's pretty simple.
All right, moving on. But just quickly, when it comes to gambling, like, you do have to include the juice. And of course, it's over under 985. We took a look at last week. I've been doing very well. Dan's been doing very well. The posts that we place on Twitter have gone well.
Right State just cashed.
Right State just cashed. That's correct. Dan, how'd you do with all those hockey plays last week?
They were okay. We went 1-2 in the PPs. I think there were three others. One of them I'd said not to play because of the juice. We discussed it pre-hand. And so the juice obviously kind of killed that. And the other two, we split 1-1. So we're 2-3 in the hockey last week. I don't know if you guys, you're not going to know this, obviously, but me and Joe had some connection issues tonight. Whatever, as we're going to the podcast. So
damn internet.
So while we were doing that, I was able to do a review some hockey. I found some good spots I have not reviewed as deep as I did last week. So just surface spots that I looked at and I liked. So I actually found 18 for this weekend, and the next week I have 18 listed. I'm going to cut the list down, but we'll kind of go over a bunch of those spots for you in hockey. And again, I know I said I didn't want to try and do, you know, the week long of hockey, but we'll try and at least give it out so that, you know, there'll be some, you know, reason to keep coming back to the podcast, and, you know, you won't have to ask every night. It'll be, you know, kind of the whole week.
You got it. And of course, we'll go over a lot of college basketball in the NBA All-Star Weekend.
Yes, sir. We will have odds for everything. Odds and plays.
That's awesome. So anything else you got to get off your chest?
No, I'm feeling good. Wright State won. They covered. They should have won by more, but they covered by four. And I will gladly take that Wright State W right there and kind of go into the night with my 1-0. Small play. We talked about it last night, too, that I liked that play. And then, you know, I ended up going smaller on it than I wanted to. But, hey, it worked out.
We also had an appearance on Toucher and Rich this week. You said you'd like James Madison. That cashed. And somehow, some way, somebody tipped me off to a cricket game at 3:45 in the morning and Melbourne won. Somehow, Dan, I don't know how they score in that sport, but it covered in Rich wins again.
Yeah, I mean, Rich wins again. That's true. That's another started bankroll. I forgot that he put $100 on that.
We should get a they should make T-shirts. Rich wins again.
Agreed. And by the way, we also had James Madison, which you put out for the people as well. And James Madison also covered the spread. So another winner there too.
Yes. Winners, baby. Winners. So what do you want to start, Dan? NBA or do you want to get into college basketball?
You know what? Let's change it up. Let's start NBA this week.
All right. All-Star Game. And of course, you can listen to all the 98.5 The Sports Hub shows at 98.5thesportshub.com. Also download us at iTunes. Where else can they hear us, Dan?
You can hear us on Google Play now. So we are on Google Play. And you can also find us on the 98.5.com Sports Hub app as well as 98.5thesportshub.com.
Boom. All right, first segment in the books. We'll get a new NBA All-Star Weekend coming up here on Over Under 985.
Hardcore baseball talk, inside the ropes with wrestling talk, and where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Over Under 985 podcast. You can find all of our documented picks at Dan Lipschatz, at Joey Murr, and at Over Under 985 on Twitter. You can also listen to us Thursdays with Toucher and Rich, 7 to 7:20 a.m. to discuss everything that's going on in the sports world of betting. The NFL, college football, and any other sports slate that is going on that week. Make sure to listen to us 7 to 7:20 a.m. every Thursday on Toucher and Rich.
All right, Dan, it's the All-Star Weekend. I like the three-point contest. I like the dunk contest. I like the skills contest. I don't always love to bet on it, but it's kind of fun for some action because you get that positive juice. And, of course, there's the All-Star Game itself and the MVP. Anything off the bat stand out for you for All-Star Weekend?
Well, I think we should just kind of go over every skills challenge, maybe pick a side or pick a player. I've never been particularly successful in betting skills challenges. I've been pretty good in the 3-point contest, to be honest with you, but the skills challenge and the dunk contest, I'm not great. So just fully up front, I have hit the MVP of the NBA All-Star Game the last 2 years. I don't throw a lot of money on this. I throw a little coin, like, you know, it's a very small bet for me. I'm just doing this for a little bit of fun action on the weekend. This should not be taken, like, you know, you should not be dumping bankrolls on this. You should not be dumping full units on this. You should be playing, you know, small amounts on this. A little bit of fun. Unless you really like something, go ahead. But, you know, a little bit of fun. So I think we should start off with the Taco Bell Skills Challenge. That's right. The Taco Bell Skills Challenge. We have field is... De'Aaron Fox at +380, Luka Doncic at +400, Trae Young at +500, Mike Conley at +600, Jason Tatum at +665, Nikola Jokic at +700, Kyle Kuzma at +800, and Nikola Vucevic at +1,000. Joe,
on the big men in this turn. This is so dumb. Why do big men do this? It's not a big man skill.
It's not. I like to launch. I like, you know, I think Jokic will be okay. You know what I mean? Like, I think he, at +700, he's not terrible. I think he'll be okay. My eyes immediately go to Mike Conley. +600, good value there. If Fox wasn't +380, if he was maybe plus more towards the 400, you know, 450, 500 range, I might look at him. But Conley, to me, good vet, extremely underrated in the league, just in terms of handles and everything, and is one of the best passers. To me, I think Conley has a pretty good chance to win this. And at +600, I'm liking the value a lot there. Joe, any thoughts?
As far as the value goes, I mean, yeah, you might as well take a long shot like Conley over a Vucevic or Jokic. The guy that interests me is Trae Young. I watched him live this year. He is fast as hell. His jump shot's not good. But if we're talking pure skill, that's what De'Aaron Fox has, right? He's just speed. So maybe Trae Young's a guy. And then, of course, everyone's going to hype up Luka Doncic. I got +400 for Doncic.
Yeah, that's what I have too at five dimes. For my pick in the Taco Bell Skill Challenge, I will take Mike Conley +600.
Boom! I'll go Trae Young just to be not a square, even though I think Fox has this thing wrapped up.
Yeah, I do too. I just think the value for is on Conley plus 600, Trae Young at plus 500, another good value pick in my opinion. That would have been my second play as well.
Let's save the three-point contest for last because that's a true battle. But
agreed.
The dunk contest in general has gone to shit. I don't know how else to say it. I thought Vince Carter would be in it this year. He's not. Listen to these names. Miles Bridges, we know him from college. Diallo as well. And then John Collins is a big man this year in the dunk contest. And Dennis Smith. Now, I know the square play would be to take Dennis Smith plus 150, but I don't see anybody else that could beat him.
You know, the only thing I would say, and this is the only thing I would say, first of all, I think Diallo is a complete wild card. Because, I mean, he just doesn't play enough minutes. And
skillful guy, one of the top college high school prospects at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he's a wild card.
He's a complete wild card in this. Instead of Jalen Smith Jr., I'm actually going to take, and again, these are all small players. I just have to keep reminding people because they're going to freak out if I don't do it. Miles Bridges at plus 280. Hometown play. Maybe the crowd gets a little bit, you know, backing for him. Dennis Smith Jr. just doesn't make his dunks, it seems. So I'll go with Bridges plus 280. I think that's, you know, I don't think it's great value. I don't think there's any value in the dunk contest at all this year. But if you're making me pick a side, I'm going Bridges plus 280. I just think he wins.
Mm. Yeah. And I hopefully they save the three-point contest for last because listen to this field. Steph Curry, Devin Booker, the returning champion, Lillard, Hield can shoot the three.
Oh, yeah.
Seth Curry, Joe Harris, Danny Green, Chris Middleton, Kemba Walker, and of course Dirk Nowitzki,
and Damian Lillard.
Oh yeah, Lillard. Yeah, and I left him out. So, you know, I look at it right away. The strong money is going to come in on Steph Curry. I still think Devin Booker plus 450 is great value. Do you see anything else in like a Kemba Walker or anyone like that?
Well, let's get the lines. We have Steph Curry plus 200, Devin Booker plus 500. This is five dimes, by the way. Buddy Hield plus 560, Seth Curry plus 525, Joe Harris plus 825, Damian Lillard plus 1150, Kemba Walker plus 1600, Danny Green plus 1600, Chris Middleton plus 2000, Dirk Nowitzki plus 3000. My eyes immediately go to Joe Harris, Joe. I think Joe Harris is a very underrated 3-point shooter, and then Danny Green. So those two would be the ones that I'm looking at. Danny Green at plus 1600. I mean, Danny Green is a legit 3-point shooter, and Joe Harris, all he does is shoot. I mean, that's his thing. Again, I don't love either one of them, but if I'm looking at some value to win, I think those would be the two guys that my eye would draw to immediately. I mean, I'd probably, you know, even split the baby and maybe go a little bit on both.
Mm-hmm. And there's always the Dirk Nowitzki, you know, last run. I don't know if he can stroke it like he used to.
No. Unfortunately, those Dirk days are gone. And it's sad, but, man, that he's a former contest winner, by the way. So he did win the 3-point contest one year, and he's impressive, man. He is. It's been a great year for Dirk, or a great career, I should say, for Dirk Nowitzki. We'll miss him. He is definitely a basketball Hall of Famer.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now I know a lot of people argue about where he is in terms of rankings. I think he's probably maybe top 50. We can discuss that another day.
Oh, he's probably the best European player in history.
Yeah, I think you'd have a hard time arguing that. I know a lot of people say best international player. I don't know if I agree with that because Hakeem the Dream and a few other guys, but definitely best European player. I think I would agree with that. So, all right, what about the All-Star game, Joe? Any All-Star game MVPs? I can give out the odds here. There's a lot of them.
I hate betting LeBron. Like, that's so boring.
Agreed.
You know, Kemba Walker, right? Hometown kid, plus 750. So we know Kyrie is dealing with a knee injury. We know Anthony Davis has the shoulder injury. And, of course, Dem's getting fired, which I did wonder if they had those odds are out. There's always the Russell Westbrook factor of him getting a triple-double and people love, you know. And then there's the Dwayne Wade, Dirk Nowitzki factor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? They could always get that. I'm curious of everybody who, like Ben Simmons, I would not play, you know, but he could get a ton of assists. James Harden, you know, always a good name. You know who's having an outstanding season? Paul George.
That's what I was looking at, too.
Like, that guy's having an incredible year, both offense and defensively. But, yeah, Kemba Walker, for me, just a hometown kid. And I just don't want – who knows? Maybe Team Giannis takes it as well.
We'll get into the game after this. MVP odds, how about this? We'll give them out. LeBron, 495. Giannis, 650. Kevin Durant, 750. Steph Curry, 750. Kemba Walker, 1,000. James Harden, 1,100. Joel Embiid, plus 1,200. Paul George, 1,200. Anthony Davis, 1,500. Kyrie Irving, 1,500. Kawhi Leonard, 1,600. Russell Westbrook, 1,500. Ben Simmons, 3,300. Blake Griffin, 4,000. Dwayne Wade, 4,000. Damian Lillard, 4,500. Bradley Beal, 5,000. Karl Anthony Towns, 5,000. Klay Thompson, 5,000. LaMarcus Aldridge, 6,500. Kyle Lowry, 7,500. Nikola Jokic, 7,500. Dirk Nowitzki, 8,000. Chris Middleton, 9,000. D'Angelo Russell, 10,000. And Nikola Vucevic, 10,000 as well. So
D'Angelo Russell at plus 10,000, huh?
Yeah. I mean, to me, I think the most value there, in my opinion, and maybe this is just me, but Klay Thompson at plus 5,000. Like, that dude fills up the stat sheet real quick. When all he does, you got to give him an open three. He just feels like the kind of guy goes off for like 34 points and has like four assists in an MVP game because he just isn't talked about. But for me, Paul George plus 1,200, I like that look. And I'm also going to be taking, and I know this is silly, I know this is not the way to do it, but I'm going to be taking Kevin Durant, 750 as well.
Ooh.
I think Durant is just, he is just that guy. He loves the spotlight. You know, he wants all the attention to be on him. He wants everyone to love him. And so if anyone is going to try in that game, it's going to be Durant. And in my opinion, he's the kind of guy who just tries way too hard in these things. And because of that, Durant at 750 would not surprise me. But I'm going to take a long shot. I'll probably play Paul George a little bit at 1,200. And I'll definitely take a flyer with either Jokic at 750 or Klay Thompson at 5,000.
Right now at Sportsbook, you can get LeBron plus 650.
Oh, that's not bad. He's 495 on five dimes. See, this way you got to shop. Again, got to shop your lines. Got to shop your lines. And then, of course, the game, Team LeBron, minus 6, minus 110 right now. The over-under right now sitting at 311. You know me, I won't be playing anything. If you're playing an over, you play the over first half because they start playing defense in the fourth quarter. So you play the over in the first half or you play the under in the second half, something like that, if you want to do it like that. And the spread, I think everyone's going to be on Team LeBron. I think they're significantly better, but again, it's all about luck and everything. You know me, I won't be betting, but if you are going to play something, I would lean the first half over 155. How about that?
Again, give me team LeBron.
Ah, the square play. The square play. Yeah. Team LeBron. Yeah. Team LeBron minus 6.
Team Giannis sucks.
I mean, but do they? Do they? They're all all-stars.
No. LeBron has had a draft.
Okay.
Giannis doesn't.
All right. I mean, yeah, he's picking Chris Middleton first off the bench. Not exactly boding well for your, for your GM opportunities. But again,
Chris Middleton showed up at the bottom of that MVP list.
Yes, he did. Although he's still above D'Angelo Russell and Nikola Vucevic for whatever reasons.
Maybe now that we think about it, it's good value.
No, thank you.
Maybe there's a good value. Yeah, just be careful. I've done the over, and it's not fun to watch late games when they actually play defense. So,
oh, yeah, exactly.
Good so that's point on that one.
Yeah, first half over, if you're going to play the over, in my opinion, that would be the play. And then one more thing I did want to talk about. NBA Finals matchups for the futures. I know people have been asking for some futures plays. So in my opinion, and I know that people don't like this, but again, in my opinion, I still think the way to play the NBA Finals matchups are just play the matchups instead of picking who's going to win the East, who's going to win the West. So like the Toronto Raptors, Golden State Warriors, plus 321. Milwaukee Bucks, Golden State Warriors, plus 347. 76ers, Warriors, plus 420. I would still take the Raptors at plus 321. Raptors, Warriors, plus 321. I think that's tremendous value still. In my opinion, no one's making it to the Warriors. So if you choose three of those teams, you're still having an even playing field. I probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably maybe two if you're looking for a good future. But, if you're a Celtics, Hawk, and you think the Celtics are somehow going to magically come back and turn on the playoffs, Celtics Warriors are plus 451. Again, I won't be betting that. I already have some money on that. But Raptors Warriors plus 321, a good future play. I just kind of wanted to throw it out there. I know people have been asking for more futures. So there's one.
All right. There you go. I think Toronto is the right play. I just think they're all in this year. And they got Kawhi, and now they got Gasol, and let's see if those bigs can get them to the finals. But who knows? Celtics could be tough to beat if they actually want to play together.
I just think that they're going to be on the road, and they're not a good road team right now. So it's hard for me to back them. It's hard for me to back them until I see some further evidence. That's my pretty much my opinion in that.
Okay. All right. Well, there's our NBA look. As far as college basketball goes, like, people are going to be like in the noon games tomorrow, right off the bat.
Some big ones.
Michigan, Maryland. Let me just tell you this, Dan. Michigan's off a loss, a straight up loss to Penn State.
They are.
Maryland's been hot, 7-3 in their last 10. They're not as good on the road, but they have 19 wins this year. They have a big man who's very good. I think Michigan covers in the spot.
I do too. And the reason why, the line is 7. Michigan minus 7. Ooh. So if you told me Michigan was minus 3, I would say maybe I'll take a look at Maryland on that side. Maybe that's a good spot for them. Michigan off a loss and at home. It seems that Michigan can't win on the road, and maybe that's, our neutral court. And maybe you look to fade them, in the Big Ten tournament or something like that if they're not playing at home. But I think that they're going to cover versus Maryland tomorrow. 7 points. And again, this is initial look. I always have to remind people, I don't look at my college basketball for Saturday until Friday night. Always. It's something I always do. So what I would tell you is Michigan minus 7 initially is the right side. I feel like you're going to get a lot of people who are going to be on Maryland at that 7, knowing how Maryland's played, and now Michigan has lost a few, has not played well, as in my opinion, as of recently. So I agree with you, Joe. I think Michigan is definitely the right side.
Yeah, and I'm just looking at it as last week's Wisconsin-Michigan game. A lot of people got love for Wisconsin, and Michigan ended up pulling it away in the end. It's the same kind of spot. The big thing here is Michigan coming off a loss, their coach getting tossed, like playing against Maryland, a good team at home. They're 15-0 at home. I think they win the game. 7, though? Woof. 6, I like. 7, now it's starting to creep up a little bit. But that's like the early game people are going to jump on. Clemson, Louisville. Like, dude, I might never touch Louisville ever again after that meltdown against Duke. And Clemson won last week at home. Now they're on the road this week. This might be another spot to fade. They're now 4.5.
Yeah. This is tough. That line is short for Louisville at home. Better team at home versus a worse team in Clemson. I know that's a tough loss. Maybe it's a mental factor line, but 4.5 seems short to me. And, I mean, really, when Clemson just seems like the right side. I feel maybe there'll be a square sharp side because everyone will be against Louisville. I won't be playing this one personally. I can guarantee you that. But the line does initially seem pretty short to me. In my opinion, I probably have Louisville 7 here. That's probably where they should be in my mind. A 3-4 possession game against a team that's been lackluster in the ACC and hasn't been a great road team. And Louisville coming off a bad loss needs this win, kind of morale boost. And the line is 4.5. It's a little short for me, Joe. A little short.
Yeah, and the card's not all that great this week. I mean, I'm looking around here. I mean, you might see some value, but like Purdue, Penn State, I don't want to touch that game. There's always the VCU Dayton, short line. Who do you like at 4 o'clock? Like Dayton at home in that situation, I like, but like, I don't know if I put money on it. Kansas at home. We talk about Kansas at home. Well, now they're 14-point favorites against West Virginia. West Virginia's 0-6 on the road this year.
Yeah. I mean, There are a lot of games tomorrow that are interesting, to say the least.
Well, not really. Like, maybe by the line. But as far as, like, man, watching TV, I don't know. 6 o'clock, do I really want to watch Memphis versus UCF? Ugh.
So, I don't know if... Well, okay, that's a fair point. Saturday is not exactly a viewing day. Is that fair to say? They're not a viewing day.
Not a good day of view, no.
Okay. But I think the lines are interesting tomorrow. Here's a perfect example. Virginia laying 18.5 at home versus Notre Dame. The line was 11 the last time these two teams played. I actually don't remember who covered, to be perfectly honest with you. But I do remember, I think it was Virginia. I'm pretty sure it was Virginia because I liked them that game. But either way, yeah, they did. They beat them by like 30, if I remember correctly. But either way, this one's interesting to me. Virginia laying 18.5 coming off that bad loss to Duke, in my opinion. They really should not have lost that game. They weren't in control, I should say, but they looked like the better team for most of the game, and they still found a way to lose it. I think they're going to blow out Notre Dame tomorrow. I do. I think that 18.5 is an interesting line. That's a good home line. I think they end up winning that one. I'm going to look for some interesting spots while we talk here, Joe. Again, just initial thoughts, I would say. More of the initial type thoughts. But
yeah, and like, I don't know. Like the Virginia game, I know I'd stay away from that one. Like, for me, it's real easy tomorrow. It's real easy. You wake up, you put on Michigan, Maryland. You put a little action on that game. All right, that game ends, and then you start looking at a couple other games. Like, what's the next 2 o'clock game to get into? You know, Florida, Alabama is a good one. Alabama's played really well. They're 3-point favorites tomorrow, but you know, I think Florida is the better team in that one. But I don't know. As far as viewing goes, though, nope, it's going to be that at noon, and then of course it's going to be Duke, NC State. NC State coming off that big win the other night against Syracuse. Now, what are they, 16.5 point favorites, Duke, at home tomorrow. NC State is 3-4 on the road this year. They're 5-5 in the last 10 games overall. So there's going to be a ton of action on that game. And, Dan, the big one is at 8 o'clock. Kentucky hosts Tennessee.
I mean, that's...
And Joe, what do you think? You know what the line is, right?
I do not, actually.
Tennessee's the number one team in the country.
I think I saw 4 earlier today.
So, number one team in the country going to Kentucky?
3.5.
Kentucky's giving 3.5 to Tennessee.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, Kentucky should be favored at home. I think these teams are relatively equal in terms of talent and ability. I know Tennessee's been fantastic in the SEC so far. This is the kind of game that you know me, Joe. What am I going to tell you? No shot in hell am I playing it. I have no interest in playing these games. And, you know, these are the ones that are lying tight and you just really can't find a, you know, an edge on. In my opinion, I mean, Kentucky lined at 3.5 is right. That's kind of exactly where I put them. Maybe a possession and a half. I think Kentucky probably wins and covers. A home team, I mean, Kentucky's been just dynamite recently.
Yeah, I've hit on them lately, but I'll tell you this. The lines are dead on. Like, they win by a basket every single time. Right. And at 3.5 tomorrow, I can see them winning by 2.
Yeah, I mean, they lost to LSU at home, to be fair. So they lost.
They got screwed on that, by the way.
Agreed. I don't think that was a bucket. Again, I know it was in the air, but it was still technically partially on the rim. In my opinion, I don't think they should have lost that game. And before that, their last loss was January 5th at Alabama, which, again, we've kind of talked about that before. Teams are having a hard time playing at Bama this year for whatever reason. But, you know, they had some good wins mixed in there. They won at Auburn. They beat Mississippi State. They beat Kansas. You know, they won at Vandy, at Florida, at Mississippi State. You know, so, again, it's just they had some good wins in there. You know, they beat North Carolina, you know, a week before that and Louisville before that. So that they do have some good wins mixed in. That LSU loss, though, was brutal. I think that was one of that they were up by, I think, like 11 or they were up by like 8 or 9 at half. I lied. 8 or 9. And they blew that game. So in my opinion, that is a bit of an issue. But I think we're going to see a lot of even betting on this one tomorrow. People are going to see Tennessee getting 3.5 and immediately probably, you know, their eyes going to that, especially at the LSU loss. So I expect the majority of the bet and the money to be on Tennessee. But I still, man, again, this is not a game that I'm going to bet. It's just not.
Oh, yeah, I'm all over this one.
Okay, well, what's here? I'm interested here because you've been hot as hell and, you know, And right now, you know, people are like, oh, you know, can you give us more? I'm like, no, go to Joe, man. Hey, ride Joe, because Joe is killing it, man. I would roll Joe.
So. What I'm doing right now is I'm looking at the line, and then if I like it, second half, I'm either doubling down or I'm fading it or I'm going with a total. And I don't know. I won't have much time tomorrow to do all that. So that's why, dude, that's what. And Dan, just one thing to point out is I try to roll early in the week. So when weekend comes around, I can dabble in spots, you know?
Yep.
And tomorrow, I'm probably going to take Kentucky money line, and I'm probably going to try to get him at -3 or buy it to 2.
I think he'll have the 3. I don't think it'll have to be a big deal.
And I'm in the position where I can buy it if I want. I can, and if they lose, oh, well. Like, I've had a hot week. But, like, that's a spot. And to be honest with you, I don't know what this Tennessee team is. Like, I've watched them. They're good. They don't stand out as flashy or anything like that. And I just think there's a ton of talent on Kentucky's side. Like, and I'm just, you know, who's better in this case? Is it the somewhat no-name team that's playing really well versus all the top recruits? I want to know what Tennessee is tomorrow, but I think they struggle in a road environment against just a really talented team. And that's why I'm fading them tomorrow.
I think that's fair. Yeah, again, I think that's more than fair. I don't think that's a ridiculous expectation, and I think that, you know, I think that it's going to be tough for any of these teams to just continuously win. And eventually I'd see Tennessee falling. You know, they're not going to go undefeated this year, is what I should say. And so eventually, I see some of these teams falling, and that would not surprise me. So, in my opinion, I think there's a good. I think I agree. I mean, I would probably lay the 3.5 for Kentucky. I'm not going to take the money line. You know, I don't have much of an interest in that.
Can I tell you one more thing?
Yeah, of course.
So my wife's Hawaiian, and I watch a lot of Hawaii sports. They get a semi pretty good basketball team. They were double-digit favorites the other day. They won by 20. They're a degenerate special Saturday night.
Oh,
They're minus 10 right now against UC Riverside.
Oh, yeah?
That team's getting better, and they're going to have a lot of home support playing at 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
I don't disagree. I think that is an interesting look. I know that the problem is that with Hawaii, and this is my big issue with Hawaii, Joe, everyone always loves betting them. Like, they're constantly getting the betting love. Not that that actually affects the outcome of the game. It's just like they're always getting the betting love. And so to me, you know, it's tough to back a team that's constantly getting that much love. That's my issue with them.
Yeah, it depends on, even if it's football too.
Exactly.
It happens as well. And for Sunday, dude, like Ohio State, Michigan State all day long. I don't see Ohio State as a threat. Houston's one of the biggest surprises in college basketball this year. Great defensively, which helps them offensively. And of course, the big game, 5 o'clock on Saturday, Villanova and St. John's. Johnny's have played well.
Is that Sunday?
Yeah, Sunday at 5 o'clock. Yep. So, Villanova, St. John's, I just think Villanova right now. They had that scare against Marquette. To me, they're still one of the top 10 teams in the country.
All right, can I give you a few more? Because I think we missed a big one on Saturday. In my opinion, a pretty big one. Iowa State, Kansas State. Kansas State 19-5, number 18.
But I like Iowa State.
Kansas State's -3 at home.
Wow.
So, in my opinion, that's way too low. Kansas State should probably be giving at least 5 there. They've been an elite home team, if I remember correctly. I don't know if they've dropped a single Big Ten game at home. I don't think they have. I think they've been perfect in the Big Ten at home. I think their last loss at home was to Texas, so maybe I lied. So Texas they did lose to, but they beat West Virginia, TCU, Texas Tech, Kansas, all at home. Even on the road, they've been real good. I mean, they won at Iowa State, so it's a nice revenge game for Iowa State. At Oklahoma, when Oklahoma's a ranked team, they lost at Texas A&M, but then they beat Oklahoma State on the road, won versus Baylor in Baylor, and then had revenge versus Texas in Texas. So they've been rolling as of late. To see a 3 line put out there, and maybe it's a revenge spot line, I guess, for Iowa State, but the three spot there. surprising because of how good Kansas State has been at home.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I think Iowa State's very good. I think they're a very good team. And I'm going to stay away from that one.
I think damn, I am too.
Damn Big 12. That conference in general scares me. And now Kansas isn't right. Like, I don't even know who's the favorite out of that conference.
So let's talk about Kansas tomorrow, actually, because this is a line I did look at and I am interested in. So Kansas is playing West Virginia. I believe West Virginia beat them.
0-6 on the road. Yep.
Yep. So Kansas sucks on the road. We're now at the point where I can't back Kansas in the tournament because it's a neutral site and they're just not a good road team. Lost at West Virginia, lost at Kentucky, lost at Texas, lost at Kansas State, lost at Iowa State. They did beat Baylor on the road, so I guess you can give them that. Lost at Arizona State. So, I mean, they just continuously lose on the road. However, they did beat TCU in overtime. So, I mean, you know, big 5-point win over TCU in overtime last week or earlier this week. I mean, West Virginia, this is a revenge spot for them. This is kind of their start of really their downfall. They had won 3 straight, TCU, Baylor, Texas, and then they lost West Virginia. They beat Iowa State, then they lost Kentucky. They lost Texas. They beat Texas Tech, and then they lost at Kansas State. And so really, I mean, they haven't been right since they lost to West Virginia. In my opinion, I feel like they're going to kick the crap out of them tomorrow.
Me too, especially at home.
Kansas,
and not to mention West Virginia hosts. They go back home and play Kansas State.
Yeah.
So, like, they're already looking ahead, too, for that one.
Yeah. So, my opinion, Kansas minus 14, that is a lean that I like. Immediately. I mean, I'm not telling you to make that play yet, but if you're looking for something, whatever, I like that. That's something that I like.
Don't love the college card. I got a lot of stuff to do on Saturday, and I'll definitely be in on that Tennessee-Kentucky game, and early on I'm looking at Michigan. I got no PPs yet, but that's what I got for the day so far.
All right, can I give you a few more college spots I've identified? Okay, so let's start with the first one, and I only know this because I was because I bet on them the other night. Little Rock is plus 1.5 versus Texas State. They just had a nice win the other night. They were, I think, a 2-point favorite at home, covered at U versus UT Arlington, 1-4. Texas State has been probably the best team in the Sun Belt this year. I can't imagine anyone is better than them. They're 20-5, and they've just dominated the Sun Belt. They have 2 losses in the Sun Belt pretty much this year, or sorry, 3. They lost to Georgia State early, but after that, they've been pretty much dominant. They lost to Georgia Southern at Georgia Southern, and they were just terrible at that game. They didn't show up, and they lost versus UT Arlington in double overtime. But they, you know, they've just been rolling, right? They beat Little Rock by 18 last time. The spread is 1.5. So I haven't really looked into the spot, but immediately, that's something that interests me. Little Rock's been playing well. They've won 3 straight. They've won 2 on the road straight, too. I think right now this Little Rock team has got it together. I think they're playing much better. Texas State has been better. They've also won 3 straight, but they previously just lost 2. I would not be surprised if Little Rock upsets them tomorrow. Plus 1.5, short line. I mean, Little Rock should be, you know, at least laying 5. You know, they should be laying 5 there. They should be a 5-point dog at home. I like Little Rock plus 1.5. I think that's a spot to look at. At least I may not end up playing it, but that's an interesting spot to look at. Two other ones. So we'll start with App State. App State, minus 2 tomorrow, all right? I think that, first off, App State is one of the most underrated teams I've seen this year. They started terribly, which is fair because, they're in the Sun Belt. Again, another, as we talked about, not a great team. But they're facing Coastal Carolina tomorrow. I think Coastal is one of the worst teams in Sun Belt. They had a nice little winning streak where they won like 6 straight. But really, other than that, they've been garbage this year. They just lost to Texas State on the road. App State has been really good at home. You know, their wins have all been at home. They just won 2 in a row versus Louisiana and UL Monroe. I kind of like them tomorrow versus Coastal Carolina. I think that's a good spot for them. Coastal just coming off one of their tougher games, maybe a letdown spot here at App State before going, you know, facing Georgia Southern, Georgia State, 2 decent teams. I think it's a decent letdown spot for them there. So that's a spot I'll look at tomorrow. And also Western Carolina, and I'll pull that one up here too. That was one of the other ones that, I was looking at. In my opinion, Western Carolina has been garbage. let's be fair, they've been garbage. You know, 3-11 in the Southern. The Citadel, though, has really not been much better. And the Citadel won a bunch out of conference games. I mean, really, they won a bunch. They beat at James Madison. They won at South Florida. They won versus Mercer. Like, they won a bunch of games that they did not deserve to win early on in the season. But they've been garbage since. In fact, they've lost 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They've lost 11 of 13. Their two wins versus VMI, one of the worst teams in the country, at home. And they won on the road at Mercer. So, you know, they beat Mercer twice this year. Western Carolina, in my opinion, is not a good team. However, they've already beat the Citadel, okay? They beat them on the road already, 94-82. Western Carolina, to me, worth a look spot. They're decent at home. They're not a good team by any means, but they're okay at home. You know, they have a good win versus Samford at home. In my opinion, I think they beat the Citadel tomorrow. So that's another spot that I would look at potentially as well.
Dylan Lifshad's pulling out the magnifying glass on Saturday.
Correct. So and those are early games. Those are the 4 o'clock games. It's kind of what I'm at right now. So I'm not really deep into the card. And there's nothing that I've fallen in love with yet. You know, there's nothing I'm like, oh, you got to play that. I think right now Kansas is probably one of my favorites. The Rock are probably my favorites, those two, so far. I'm not recommending playing either of those yet. You can ask me tomorrow. But I think those are some good spots, Joe. I wouldn't mind seeing either one of those tomorrow.
All right. You heard it there. Huge breakdown. NCAA basketball, NBA. Well, I'll finish up with a few other thoughts here. And also, I do want to talk about the AAF just to do it because people ask us about it. So we'll pause here. Of course, you can listen to us. You know the easiest way to find us? Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Go to podcasts. Click us. Boom. We're right there. He's Dan Lifshitz. I'm Joe Murray. It's Over Under 985. We'll wrap it up here on the other side.
Hardcore baseball talk. Inside the Ropes with Wrestling Talk. And where you should put your money with Over Under 985. Listen to the podcast at 985thesportshub.com and on the Sports Hub app.
You're listening to the Bankroll Boys. Follow them on Twitter at Joey Murr, at Dan Lifshitz, and send in your questions at Over Under 985.
All right, Over Under 985. We've given you basketball. We talked about last week. Dan fired off 5 shots at me last week opening with hockey PPs. Everything's been like overs lately, haven't they? Every total of late has just been an over in hockey.
I'll say this. We hit a real nice under a couple of days ago. I can't remember. It might have been last night. The Red Wings Senators under 6. I like that spot a lot. And it was 3-2 going into the third. And no goals in the third. Scoreless third. Got the win there. So I've been you know, picking and choosing my spots with unders. I also had Nashville under last night as well, so that was also under. So I've been doing okay with unders as of late, excuse me. But yeah, I mean, it's been, you know how it is in hockey. First period overs are the point that everyone likes to make now. They're the popular trend. And
that's what I was going with, the over in the first period.
Yeah, I mean, they're killing, man. I think if you probably played every first period over this year, you'd probably be up a good amount. I mean, really, you'd probably be up a good amount. So, yeah, I mean, I wish I could deny it, but really, there you'd be up a pretty good amount.
Any games you like that you want to at least eye in on for okay. National Hockey League?
Sure. So I'm going to try and stay away from Friday this week because I think that is too far out for me. So, I maybe people don't like that. I'm sorry. That's too far out for me. So, we'll go up.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
I know Tampa Bay is, like, the hottest team in the league. How are they betting-wise? Like, tomorrow, they are hosting the Montreal Canadiens. Like, at minus 210, is that too much juice in that spot?
Yeah, see, here's my rule about hockey. And I never lay anything more than minus 140. Except in very rare circumstances. So if there's a first period over I'm in love with, for instance, the Bruins Blackhawks the other night, First period over was minus 145 or minus 150, depending on your site. I laid that. I love that spot. So I laid that. But very rarely are you going to win long-term in hockey if you're betting a lot of juice. The best way to do it is if you find a team like Tampa Bay who's what, you said minus 210. If, say, you like Tampa Bay, if you like them enough to play the minus 210, then you like them enough to play them in regulation. You think they're going to win, not in overtime. So you just play the regulation line, and you really drop about 60 to 70 points in juice immediately. So that 210 will probably be more about, 140, 150 tomorrow. And again, I'm not recommending you play that. But that's a way to play them if you like that. Or you play the puck line. You play the -1.5. So if you like that, I played the Lightning -1.5 last night versus Stars. Perfect example. That was a line that I liked. I liked the Lightning in the spot. And so I played the -1.5. So if you like them, 1.5, I think that, that's great. A lot of people play the reverse, do that. So you can also buy to +1.5. So you can probably buy +1.5 to for Tampa Bay. I'm not a fan of that. And I know a lot of people parlay those, but I'm not a fan of that. All it takes is, again, one bad side and you're out. So I do know people who are successful betting that strategy, but personally, I'm not.
How common is it that you see a 6.5 total on a Saturday night? There's about six or seven games over under 6.5.
It really depends on the matchup. I think what you'll see more and more is, unlike the NBA and unlike the NBA and college basketball and even college football, these early start times or late start times don't affect teams too much in terms of how they play. Hockey is just kind of a different animal in terms of capping. I don't worry so much about the start times. Like, if you're looking at maybe like a 12 or 1 start on a Saturday, maybe there's a small consideration there. Maybe there's a small consideration at 12 o'clock on a Sunday, but really, it's not much of a consideration when I kind of pick my plays. So that's how I do it, at least. It's the start times don't matter too much to me.
Interesting. And Saturday night's loaded. The Bruins are at the Kings. I remember last week you liked it the other way when they were in Boston. I think the Bruins won that game as well.
Yeah, well, I like the under in that game, and it went way over. And I said not to play it if it's at a certain line. We didn't play it because it was at a certain line. So, that was, the thing about hockey, and I really want to preach this again, Joe. If the line is at a certain spot, you cannot play it. You can't play it because the lines are where they are for a reason. So you certainly cannot play it. For instance, perfect example, okay? The perfect example tomorrow. The Senators and the Jets are playing tomorrow night. I actually happen to like Winnipeg's team total. Just throwing it out there if you guys want something. I don't love it, but I like it. It's good, good team total, okay? It's going to be at 6.5. The line is at 6.5 minus 130, okay? And again, a lot of people don't like that I do this, but I like to read the NHL games a lot by the lines. If you're sitting at 6.5 minus 130, why are they not putting it at 7? Usually most sites will just put it, at 7 by, just bump it up a half point after minus 120. So if it goes above minus 120 and you're getting too much pounding there, you bump it up a half point. Another example, Flames Penguins at over 6.5 minus 140 tomorrow night. Those spots always scare the hell out of me. Columbus, Chicago, over 6.5, minus 135 tomorrow. They scare the hell out of me. So I just, for me, it's the juice, it's the line. Hockey is very line-based for me. And so, if I'm reading the line and I see something I don't like, I'm not going to play it purely because of the line. Forget about anything else. The line is very important to me. The spot is important to me, and then the line. So that's kind of how I read, Joe.
Any games? Any more NHL stuff?
Oh yeah, we have a bunch. So let's go through the list. And I'll give out a PP or two. Jets and Senators. I like the Jets team total tomorrow. They struggled versus the Senators last week. Still ended up with 2 goals. Team total probably at 3.5 tomorrow. Don't love it. You can DM me about it tomorrow. We'll see. But I think the Jets team total is probably a good look. Chicago, Columbus. two teams that have just been going wildly over in pretty much every game. I like the under in that one, under 6.5 actually. So you won't see me play a lot under 6.5s, but I think Chicago Columbus under 6.5 is a good play at +115. That's something I'm going to be looking at very much so. Those two teams eventually slow down. Columbus is a very slow paced type team. And, you know, Chicago always plays them in a more grinding style. And so that's a spot where I feel like that could definitely be that. Tomorrow, San Jose -1.5 versus Vancouver. I think the Sharks will probably blow out Vancouver. Vancouver's been incredibly, they've just been better as of late, I should say. But even on the road against good teams, they've struggled. And so, in my opinion, and while the Sharks just had a clunker, they lost 1-5 at home to the Capitals. But again, we're going to talk about home ice. Does not matter that much. I think the Sharks -1.5 is worth a look. Let's move into Sunday, where I have a PP. So my PP, my first PP, is going to be the Penguins-Rangers over 6.5. If it's at 6, it's not a play. Not a play. It has to be 6.5 or higher. So 6.5 or 7, in my opinion, for the Penguins-Rangers. PP at 6.5. If it's at 6, you're not playing it. If it's at 6.5 -130, you're not playing it. It has to be 6.5 in between, you know, +100 and -120. Something like that. We've talked about how lines are extremely important in hockey. So again, that is a line, in my opinion, that has to be there. That is a specific spot. So 6.5, in my opinion, it has to be 6.5. All right. Also Sunday, the Ducks Capitals. I'm not going to be playing this one yet, but I think this is going to be a good spot for the Ducks. The Capitals have been iffy on the road. I know they had a good win versus the Sharks, but in general, have been iffy on the road. And Anaheim is getting their butt kicked by Boston right now, 2-0. But I think the Ducks are going to win at home versus the Capitals on Sunday night. That's a spot worth looking. Do a few more, Joe, and then we'll kind of give you a break for a few minutes here, and then I'll do a few more, and then we'll move in. Another one that I really like. So Columbus is going to be coming off that game versus Chicago on Saturday. They're being home versus Tampa Bay. Versus Tampa Bay on Monday. Tampa Bay, in my opinion, is consistently outplayed them. Everything that they do is just a perfect style to fit Columbus. I'm not sure what the line is going to be. Again, it's Monday, but I like Tampa Bay. It's a good spot for Tampa Bay. Columbus coming off that tough win, I assume they're going to win for Chicago, but that tough game for Chicago, I think that's a good spot. Boston, San Jose that night, same night, Monday night. Monday night, the under there is worth a look. If it's anything under 5.5, not a play. So it has to be 5.5. Has to be 5.5. Okay. Devils Penguins. This is also going to be a PP for me. The Devils team total, assuming it's at 2.5, is great. If it's at 3.5, we'll talk about it, but the Devils team total PP at 2.5. 3.5, we'll talk about it. But I think that the Devils team total, I believe that's Tuesday versus the Penguins, will be a PP. Again, don't know the line, but that will be the PP. It's at 3.5. Please ask me first. Flyers, Tampa Bay, also on Tuesday. That one I also like. That will be an overplay as well. You'll see I'm not including a lot of unders because, again, it's very hard for me to project unders a week out. However, Flyers, Tampa Bay, if that is at 6.5 or 7, I like it. That's a play. If it's at 6 or under, that is not a play. Again, so it has to be at 6.5. Otherwise, it's not a play. Okay, so let's move on from there. The Vegas Golden Knights and the Bruins. I'm not going to make this a PP because it's an underplay. I like the under in these two. So if it's 5.5, I like it. If it's 6 or anything over, I don't like it. But I like that spot. We'll talk about that. I believe that is Thursday. That's the only spot I like Thursday. Or sorry, that's Wednesday. And then the only spots I like Thursday, one spot, is also my other PP this week, Joe. So we're going with three PPs again. The Devils Senators over. If that's at 6 or 6.5, it is fine. Over in the Devils Senators game, 6 or 6.5. If it's at 5.5, it's not a play. If it's at 6, like -140 or -130, it's not a play. If it's at 6.5, you know, anything under -130, it's a play. So again, PPs this week, I'm going to take the Penguins Rangers over as long as it's 6.5 or more. And the juice is not too high. That will be on Sunday. The other PP, Devils Penguins on Tuesday, and the Devils team total over 2.5 is a PP unless it's too juiced. Then we're not going to play it. If it's at 3.5, DM me. And the final PP, Devils Senators over 6.5, or 6 or 6.5, unless it's juiced at 5.5, it's not a play. So those are the three PPs. And in the other spots I like that we talked about that, again, you can ask me about because they're not plays yet, but just spots I like. Winnipeg Jets team total tomorrow. The Blackhawks Columbus under. I like that one. I think that's going to end up being a play. So that'll be under 6.5. In fact, we'll make that a play. Not a PP, but I'm going to play that. Okay. Sharks Canucks. I like the Sharks -1.5 tomorrow. The Ducks Capitals on Sunday. I like the Ducks to win that one. The Lightning Blue Jackets. I like the Lightning to win that. If it's lined too high, maybe the Tampa Bay puck line. The Bruins Sharks also on Monday. I like the Bruins Sharks under. If it's at 5.5, anything over, we'll not be playing it. I believe still Tuesday, Flyers and Lightning. If it is over 6.5 or more, it's a play unless it's super juiced. If it's 6 or under, we'll not be playing that. And then Vegas and Boston, that'll be Wednesday. If that's an under, if that's 5.5, it's a play. Anything over 5.5, 6, 6.5, not a play. Boom.
Okay. Whew. Whew. Hockey stuff, man. Woof.
Woof. That was a lot.
People who love hockey will love that shit. I just wanted to bring up quickly last week, every single favorite hit in UFC, and technically they didn't. I actually hit one dog, but it depends on where the closing line was, you know. So everyone wants to say that every single favorite lost last week. That's fine. Well, you got UFC tomorrow. Francis Ngannou versus Cain Velasquez is the main event. I like Ngannou. I like Felder as a dog. I put some money on Courtney Casey as a dog. Alex, I would take all the dogs again tomorrow, Dan. I would do it all over again. And listen, I think Cain Velasquez is a better fighter than Francis Ngannou. Dude, you got to see Ngannou, man. He's huge, right? If he connects once with you, you're dead. And that's what people do. They, like Stipe Miocic, fought him and just kept him in the cage and didn't let him move. The guy's humongous. And I just think Cain Velasquez is a little older. I think Ngannou is ready to go. At +140, it's definitely worth a dabble tomorrow night. So just wanted to give out those UFC picks for Saturday night.
That's the first on ESPN, right? Isn't this the first UFC on ESPN?
There you go.
So, I'm not sure. I have no idea. I have to be honest with you. I don't know much about UFC.
A stream you have to buy. So they show like the first fights and then they'll go to the stream.
Yeah, it's like ESPN 1, right?
Plus.
Yeah,
it's plus. $5.99. I haven't tried it yet, but people said it's really good for degenerate action.
ESPN Plus I purchased because I like to watch my college basketball. It's awesome. I can vouch for that. They have all the little games on there, and so that's how I watch my games. I love ESPN Plus.
On my Comcast, they have ESPNU, and it shows me a million different ESPNU channels, and it's great. You just got to pay the piper there. So
yep.
That's really it for me, Dan. I just wanted to mention AAF football. I'm not betting on that crap right now.
Yeah,
I'm not
in on it either yet. I like the product. I like the product. You know, pretty much every favorite and every under hit last week. I think it was favorites and unders went like 7-1 total. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I don't know enough about the teams, enough about the players to make a system or anything for myself. So, you know, favorites and unders, I guess. I really don't know. I listened to a podcast about it this week. I did. And so I am trying to educate myself a little bit. Like Memphis is +13. That's the team with Christian Hackenberg, Joe.
Yeah.
And the Hot Shots were very good offensive team. And So I wouldn't be surprised if they covered that 13 pretty easily. And the other ones they liked were Orlando, the Orlando Apollos minus 5.5 versus San Antonio Commander. Again, I don't know much about, you know, this at all. So, and I'm not telling you to play any of the overs or unders, but I'm just telling you, favorites and unders went 7-1 last week.
I'd ride that trend again.
Yeah, I mean, go for it. I'm not telling you what to do because I really don't know anything about it. I have to be perfectly honest with you. I don't know. I'm waiting to be more educated in the you know, on the teams and everything, watching it. But yeah, we're not there yet.
All right, Dan, we got questions, huh?
Yes, we do. You want to take it to the window?
Let's take it to the window.
Take it to the window.
You send in your questions, we cash them out at the window. So who you got? Over, under 98.5.
All right, Joe, the first question, and I'm going to name him by name. I'm going to name him by name here because I like him. He's a guy I like. But it's just this question kind of pissed me off. So Darren Dumas, guy I like. Again, at over under 95, why does Dan hate parlays and action reverses when they can be way more profitable in straight bets? If you're sure, then you're sure. Okay, pretty much put it like this. Takes to hit a bet to be breaking even, it takes 53.3%. Okay, that's your breaking even point when you play minus 110. You have to hit 53.3% every time to break even. That's just to break even. That's not to profit or anything else. 53.3% to break even on minus 110 juice. Now, the best players in the world probably hit about 65 to 67% regularly. That's the best players in the world, okay? Best players in the world. And really after that, you have some really good players who hit 60 to 63, and then you have people who hit 55 to 60 in that range. Most people I know hit about 48 to 52. Most people. You know, your average bettor probably hits about 50% of the time. It's about right. Let me put it like this. You have a less than 50% chance of hitting a bet in a parlay. Now you're asking to put in a second. Well, now your chances of hitting the bet went from probably 49% or 50% to less than 25%. You add another one in there, you're talking about an 8 to 12% win rate. That's not how you succeed. That's not profitable, and no one makes money off that.
Yeah, that's the answer there. I wouldn't tell people not to do it, though. Like, I do it. Like, sometimes I'll wrap up Patriots in the over, put it in a, you know, an A&R. And the thing that stinks about it is that, you know, your $400 bet's now $1,400. And if you lose, you want it all. The only thing I like about it is when you do a parlay, you lose the whole entire bet. If you have an A&R, you still get some of the money back. For those people who loves to bet online and get that credit up front, at least you don't lose your whole bankroll. You get some back. That's, you know, that's really the only, and I shouldn't even call it positive, but that's the only reason. But dude, if you hit, you know, you put 500 down on a A&R, you're coming away with 34, four grand. You're a happy man. But the point is, it's just not profitable over a long time. It's just not.
It's not. And Darren happens to be pretty good with betting. What he does is he bets favorites in hockey and he either takes the money, you know, the puck line and whatever. In reality, in hockey, in long term, you're going to lose that way, Darren. And I've told you this multiple times. You're not going to win that way. So if you keep playing every big favorite minus 1.5 and parlaying them, all it takes is one night where you have all three favorites lose, and bang, you just had an 0-6 or 0-7 night, and now it's going to take you, what, another 3, 4, 5 hits to get back to where you were? It's not profitable. In fact, I'll tell you this. I know, again, I've told you this, I know hundreds of bettors, hundreds of people who bet, and I've been doing this for a long time. I know one dude, who has been successful in betting parlays. They're not profitable. You have to be ridiculously lucky to be consistently hitting parlays and winning. That's it. And if you want to play, like, you know, a big parlay or anything, you want to play some parlays, fine. Play them with, like, you know, a quarter of a unit or whatever, you know, screwing around to have fun. Get it. That's fine. I get it. But if you're actually trying to build a bankroll, make money playing parlays, you're never going to do it. You're just not. It's not a successful strategy. And it's been proven over and over again. Put it like this. Books would not offer you an option that is profitable for you.
I get it. You're passionate about this. I get it.
Well, yeah. I mean, but again, it's simple. Books will not offer an option that is profitable to a bettor. Books and casinos are designed to make money, so they're not going to offer an option to someone that is profitable for them. So offering parlays just shows you that it's not profitable, just by the simple fact of knowing that.
So I'll give you an example. The other night, so lately all I've been doing is just, just picking a game, put bet in the juice and moving on. And the other night, I don't know what it was. I liked Illinois as a dog and I liked UConn as a dog. And I just, let's put a couple of ching-chang on it. It hit, but it was because I didn't want to take each one individually. I just, did a little bit of the bankroll and somehow it hit. But that's what I do in parlay situations. I like these two. Let's give it a, cause I don't, if I take them straight and I lose both, like I'm pissed, you know what I mean? So it's a small opportunity for a bigger hit. It just happened to work with underdogs this week.
Yeah. The only time I recommend doing parlays is like a two team parlay. You want to bring down some juice. So if you like the Lightning tomorrow night at -210 or whatever it is, and you like, another play, you want to bring down the -210, you want to bring it to, +100 or, +105, +110 with another, big favorite or something else you like, maybe it's not even a favorite, maybe it's a -110. You just want to bring down the juice. That's where it's acceptable, in my opinion. Other than that, you're not going to win long term. You're just not. So,
what else we got for questions?
All right, top future options for March Madness. I wanted to just answer this. We're not going to do this right now because we're going to do this in the future podcast. We start doing this right now, and then eventually March Madness comes around. You won't have anything to bet on. So, Joe, maybe you can give one team that you're looking for a potential future for. How about that?
Marquette.
Okay. For me, if there's one team I'm looking for to make a tournament run, I think Nevada. Nevada would be a good one, in my opinion.
They did last year.
Yep. I think Nevada's a very underrated team. Doesn't get a lot of talk, and they'll end up being pretty good. So, okay. Let's move on. This question is from a fella named Jim. He goes, yo, Bankroll Boys, love your content, your podcast, of course, the picks. I'll be the last guy to complain about a couple losses. I wouldn't even know to look for games with NC State or San Diego State. Question for the show. If you take a heavy underdog, +11, and the game is tied at half, would you consider a second-half bet for the favorite to go -7 in the second half? Just gives you that chance to hit both. That's called a middle. I hit Saturday. I hit both in the Kansas game Saturday. Is this like splitting 10, stupid bet? Can you kind of give me some help for this? Thank you. Joe, any kind of advice for bettors that are middling or trying to go for a middle?
Okay, so second half definitely in these situations. So I'll give you an example. Arizona was, I think they were a 2-point dog to Utah last night, two nights ago, and they were down 1 at the half. The spread was 2.5 second half, and I was all over Wisconsin, and they rolled. I mean, if you can get a home team at a short number who's trailing, I would definitely bet them second half. But let's use the Duke analogy against Louisville the other night. They were -8. The second half was essentially, they were down 9 points. They were like, okay, 8.5 is the line for Duke second half. I took Louisville. What happened? Duke ended up winning the game outright. There are times where you can actually lose both bets in this scenario.
Of course you can.
So that's the issue.
The Duke, right? Duke Louisville is a perfect example. You lost both bets, don't you?
There you go. So I would say normally let it ride. And I use the Utah analogy just because it happened the other night. They were down, and I think there was a game earlier. Remember Michigan State was on their hot run,
yep,
and they lost to Purdue. Or were they down? Like, they were down huge. They were down huge at halftime. They made a huge comeback. The line was like 7. I think it was 7 or 8.
Yep.
They still didn't cover that second half. Like, they made a comeback. They were down by 3. They still didn't cover that second half. So you got to be careful with those because you can essentially lose both bets.
Agreed. No, I fully agree with that. The only time I like to do middles are, let's say something is way the other way away. Let's say you took the under in the Super Bowl, right? You took the under in the Super Bowl and you had, what was it, like 56 or whatever it was. You had the under 56 in the Super Bowl. And obviously, scoreless first quarter, second quarter, whatever. Maybe you take a live bet. And that's pretty much the only time I ever do a middle is I'm going to live bet. The over-under is, live was, 14 or whatever. Maybe you play the over. That's really the only time I'm playing middles is when there's a huge gap. I'm not much of a middle bettor, and I know Joe is, and Joe's successful doing it. Again, everyone kind of has their
and
own.
It's mostly football because some of these teams drop 21 points, and it's like, are they really going to win by 18 or more? And then you hit it, and it's like, they won by 19. You know what I mean? So it's like you middled it, but you got lucky because you played the right side.
Yeah.
You know, but in football, it's much easier to middle. In hoops, man, 3-point shots, free throws, I wouldn't even try it.
Agreed. Football was much easier to middle. Much easier to middle. So I'm not surprised by that at all. So, all right, let's move on.
Didn't we middle? We middled, was it Dallas and Seattle?
Dallas and Seattle, perfect middle spot. But that was a money line. So technically, we got the money line in the middle.
That's right.
Yep.
And that was in the second half.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. All right. So question from Nicholas. I don't know if you'll go into this too much on the podcast, but I was wondering about how you chose NC State the other night. I was thinking Syracuse was a good road team, and NC State wasn't too consistent. Obviously, I was way off. So I played a play the other this week. I had NC State -3, Syracuse +3.
I circled that one, and I actually was leaning Syracuse.
Yeah, so everyone likes Syracuse. Again, Syracuse was overvalued. It's pretty simple to find overvalued teams. Find a team that has, you know, is playing, you know, has won a couple games in a row versus some bad teams and maybe has one good win mixed in there, has 5 or 6 wins straight, and all of a sudden they're overvalued against the line.
Butler, Creighton, Georgetown, all those teams, they have nice wins against decent competition, and then when they play a tough team, they might lead at the half and then lose the game and blow it.
Exactly. Or, for instance, NC State is playing like Duke and Virginia and everything, and they're not winning every game, and so their record looks good. It looks worse, and so you'll see, people will undervalue them because of their record. And again, I know it's stupid, but just based off that, I mean, you can find some real good value. So NC State to me held a lot of value, and that was a pretty easy play for me. So that's kind of how I look at it. Again, you have to make your own determination about where a team's value lies and where you're betting a number, not a team.
Oklahoma City in the NBA last games of the week right before the All-Star break.
Yeah, I mean,
here's a good one right here. How about -3 versus Golden State? Well, that's when you say nope. Look the other way. It's too fishy.
Yeah, if your capper gave you Warriors on Friday night, or sorry, on Wednesday night, and Golden State on Thursday night, new question. OKC on Thursday night, get a new capper. That's my suggestion. All right, moving on. Question for Jeff French. Any opinion on Tennessee +1,000 to win it all in college basketball? Seems like solid value.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead. $25, right? I don't know how battle tested they are yet. Let's see them go into Kentucky tomorrow. If they win tomorrow, I'm going to take them seriously. I just don't think they're talented enough.
Yeah, I don't. I think it's a bad bet. I think
they should have beat Loyola, I believe, last year in the tournament. And they got lucky.
They lost. It was like betting the Chargers a couple weeks into the NFL playoff, or like right a couple weeks before the NFL playoff started. They were the team. Everyone was on them. So it wasn't a question. You know what I mean? Everyone starts playing the trendy dog or the trendy fave. You know when that happens. So Tennessee, in my opinion, right now, Tennessee and Gonzaga, those two trendy teams. Like, everyone's going to be on them come tournament time, and neither of them will win. That's my opinion.
I think Gonzaga's really good. I think they're Final Four bound.
No, I don't think so. I think they're going to be a first or second round exit.
Oof.
Yeah, look at the competition they play every night. Okay. What happens when they face good competition this year? They're going to get – it's going to be – they haven't been in a tough dog fight in a while. So, we'll see. I'm not exactly too thrilled with how I view them. So we'll see. All right, let's go. Let's see here. Is there anything really you look for info, trends, last five, next five, home away? For example, action is limited on trends. Score is good for home away, but not look ahead to recent. Is there a location for all this stuff? And my answer is no. Joe will say covers. I know you like covers a lot. In my opinion, it's just do your own research, and the more research you do, the better off you'll be.
Dude, just have a hunch, Just like, dude, I have a good eye for looking at stuff. Like, just my whole life, I have a good eye for it, and you just gotta have a hunch sometimes. It's just not feeling West Virginia on the road at Kansas. Just it looks like a bad spot, you know, and it normally did. It is. And hey, if the line was 21, I'd still like it. It's 14, but I'd still like it if it was at 21. So sometimes you just got to stick your balls out there and make a play. Have a little hunch. You know, your eye on this stuff. Don't look for other people for plays. Try to make why go out for milk when you get a cow at home, damn it.
I mean, yeah, this is an educational podcast. You guys should be learning. I think this is an educational question. Is there a spot to go? In my opinion, there's not. You got to either A, look at it yourself, or B, you got to do the research yourself. So,
and I will say I do look at other people, what they're picking, and I fade or follow.
That's I've told this multiple times. I'm not a big fade or follow guy in terms of other people. I usually try and just make my own plays. Because I feel like I'm confident in myself.
By the way, if I hear Marty Mush is on a game, I'm nervous, Stan.
Oh, yeah, me too. 100%.
And it's not the fact that, like, I don't want to, like, use the Mush analogy. It's just that the guy's really entertaining, you know? Like, yep. It's. I just don't want to be on the wrong side of it, you know?
Yep. All right, Joe. Can you explain your philosophy for betting second half lines, or are you just following your gut?
No, I look at, again, just. I'll give you the. So me and you, Dan, I liked the under in the second half Murray State game. You liked the over. Now, listen, if that ball goes in at the end at 70-73 and goes into overtime, that game's going over the total, okay?
Yep.
I just thought 88 for a second half. Was it 88 or 84? It was whatever. It's too many points.
Again, but the thing is, and I'll tell you this right now, the minute that the lines go high, and people start betting unders is when you start losing, because what happens is those lines are inflated for a reason, you know?
Yep.
And so I just be careful, not to you, but in general, you know, you see an 88 line and you're like, oh, well, that shouldn't be 88. There's a reason it's 88. The books are not, you know, just out there to give you free money. So.
Oh, yeah. Like in football, if I see a second half and it's 28.5, I'm like, we're going over. I just, for some reason, I just feel like that half a point. Or even that number 28, it's just they're screaming for a lot of points, and you might as well go with that trend, and then there's always overtime. Yeah, you got to be careful with under second half. It's just the other night, that one looked too big to me. I watched the Illinois-Ohio State game. It was 30-27 at half. It was a 75 under second half. I went way under. They only scored 40 points in the second half.
Yep.
So it's just, I mean, I'm not saying it's rocket science, but, like, look at the way the game's played. Like Wisconsin, okay? They are a defensive team. They might score a lot of points first half, but they're going to get that thing into Ethan Happ all second half, and he can't hit his free throws. So it's like, do you want – you're not going to – I played the – remember last week my PP was the over in that damn Michigan-Wisconsin game. The reason why is they missed 15 free throws. You know, they hit those free throws. It's good. Ethan Happ, to me, again, I think he's one of the best players in the country, but – when you put him on the line, when you put a Zion Williams, these big players, when they put them on the line late in games and they're tired, you know, that's when the totals get a little scary for you if you have overs.
Yep. No, I agree. I think that's a pretty.
But yeah, dude, I've been doing second half bets for years. It's like it's like being at the blackjack table. You know what I mean? What are you going to do? Are you going to hit or not hit? It's just, you know, and you know, I think we had what was it? When the Philly game, right? Like yep. We had the over for the game. I thought that game was still going to go over the total, and that's why I took the over. If you think it's still going to go over, just ride the streak, man.
Yep, I fully agree. So, all right, we'll come in final two few questions here because we're going to be wrapping up the Bruins game. I got to get stuff moving over here. However, bankroll strategies, Joe. How do you bet unit size? We're not talking dollar size because, again, we're not going to talk about that. But bankroll size, percentage of your bet, pretty simple for me. My regular bets are 1% to 3% of my bankroll, depending on the sport. My small bets are 1% to 0.5% to 1% of my bankroll, depending on the sport. And my large bets are usually 3% to 8%, depending on my bankroll, so depending on the sport. So that's kind of how I do it. Simple strategy. You should be betting on percentages of your bankroll and not, you know, dollar amounts. So that's the way I look at it. Joe, anything
for you? I rank things 1 through 3. If I had to put a dollar amount on it, small would be 50. Average would be 500. And large would be 1,000. I don't know how else to say that, but like, all right, so $50 on a small bet, you lose $5, $50, $5, $55 on 50. If you put 500 on it, you lose $550 on 500. If you put $1,000 on it, you're losing $100 on the $1,000. So I look at it as the, you know, what's the juice, what's the vig, everything like that. I look at things through three plays, and usually the small plays I don't like to play. So I'm either average or done.
Yep.
I don't know how else to say it. And you know what? It's really easy for me to figure out the juice in the end when it's all said and done.
Yep. Okay. So fun. We have a bunch of questions. Nothing I love. Do we have an action app username for listeners to follow? Again, we talked about this earlier, but @overunder985. Pretty simple. You can follow us there. We don't put all our plays in on time. I want to give you guys that heads up right now. I put our plays in whenever I can. We post them everywhere else, and I put them in whenever I can. There's just too many things, so I do it when I can. Not exactly when we post the plays.
And like, dude, if we just did this podcast like every night or did a newsletter or something like that, people would get the picks, 15 minutes before the game, and then they'd have to, you know, and that's it. And then it'd be posted, and then, you know, they'll track the record. It's just whatever. I don't know.
Yep.
I do like when people are like, hey, what do you guys like tonight? We do a thread. I think that's fun.
Agreed. All right. Final question. And then we're gonna wrap up tonight. What is the most overrated factor bettors use to decide what to bet on? For example, home away splits against the spread record. Also, most underrated. Again.
Small line home favorite. People do that all the time. Oh, it's 1 point. Seattle Seahawks -1 at home. Like, I hate that analogy of just they're the home team and they're a small favorite. It drives me nuts.
Yeah.
It's too square.
For me, it's pretty simple. For me, it's win-loss. I mean, people just view win-losses and just, you know, completely judge a team based on the win-loss record and whatever. Against the spread, you know, here's the thing. I think their trends can be important against the spread. For instance, like the Jets were like 14-2 against the spread in the first half like a couple years ago, and the Browns were like, you know, 0-16 first half, but like, you know, 9-7 in the second half. So I think those trends can be very important in betting. And some teams are just better in the first half. Some teams are better in the second half. Like, you know, those are important. Win-loss is definitely overrated. And most underrated, in my opinion, is just it depends on the sport. Like, for hockey, I think that, honestly, the breakouts are really important to me. You know, breakouts, how you play, how a coach plays. I think that stuff is all very important and stuff that doesn't really get taken into, you know, an account of, you know, how people bet. You know, when it comes to basketball, I think that, again, people look at record. People don't care about home and away. They just kind of look at record or, you know, divisional record or conference record, I mean. And so that will kind of matter. So that's kind of what it is. So, in my opinion, those are the most overrated.
My most overrated? Let me think here. Overrated bets. Oh, they're -3. They're at home. You know, again, I don't know what – I know we call it the square play, but it's just like – oh, you know what else I don't like? Like, for instance, Gonzaga was at 1 point 21.5-point favorites at Loyola. And, like, you know, you don't love Gonzaga, so why weren't you on Loyola? I just – you know, I look at it like that. Dude, Loyola was 11-2 at home. They give up 60 points a game at home. Like, whoever the opponent is, they're a different beast when they play at home. Wright State, okay, they suck. They won tonight. You know why? Because they're a different beast at home. And I just think that sometimes, forget about the line, how does that team play at home? And I feel like some teams don't get enough respect for that.
Fair enough. All right, Joe, we got to wrap up the podcast
here. We had a long show tonight.
Yep. We got to wrap it up here. So, been fun, guys. Hope you guys have some hockey plays this week. You got some college basketball, some NBA. Gave you a lot of stuff.
You got it. Well, he's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. Follow us on Twitter @JoeyMurr, @DanLifshatz, @OverUnder985. I'm signing off. Joe Murray, Dan Lifshatz. It's been OverUnder985.
Who you got?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.